Hey, open up to John chapter 12. We're going to cover verses 20 through verse 36 today. And we talked about the triumphal entry, which is where Jesus came into Jerusalem on the 10th of Nisan, fulfilling prophecy in Psalm 118, Genesis chapter 49, Daniel chapter 9, Zechariah 9. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, we looked all those up. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And that idea of the day when Jesus came into Jerusalem on the donkey, 173,880 days after the decree went out to rebuild Jerusalem. Incredible prophecy there in Daniel chapter 9. And in comes Jesus on the donkey as all the families are gathering their Passover lambs on the 10th of Nisan into their homes that would be sacrificed 4 days later for Passover. And that Sunday, Jesus, the Lamb of God, came in to Jerusalem. Amazing. I love it. It was the first time that Jesus publicly proclaimed himself to be the Messiah. If you remember, he would resist that. Told even after some of his miracles, he'd say, "Now don't tell anyone that I did this. We don't want the press." And it got to where people would just tell everybody anyway, to where Jesus couldn't publicly travel. He had to kind of hide a little bit so that they wouldn't try to grab him and make him king. He avoided that as much as he could, all the press and everything. But whenever he brought up being the Messiah to his disciples, he would tell them not to talk about it. And we'll look at that in just a little bit. So you think, well, why now? Well, Jesus always made it clear that the Messiah would die and raise from the dead. And so this is the week where that's going to happen. So now it's public. And in last week, and or 2 weeks ago, in verse 16 of chapter 12, it says that the disciples didn't understand any of the things that were going on. There he is in Jerusalem on the donkey. They're saying glory to God in the highest. They're declaring him to be the Messiah. They're laying their clothes down. He's coming in on the donkey, fulfilling scripture. And it says they didn't understand it yet. It wasn't until, verse 16 tells us, it wasn't until after the cross and the resurrection that they remembered that they had done these things and that these things were written about him. Amazing. See, we have our perspective when we look back and go, how did they not get it? But they didn't, because it hadn't happened yet. And if you were here at our prophecy studies, that's one of the reasons God speaks about things he's going to do and that he hasn't finished yet, is so that man will realize you can't figure it out until God does it, even though he told you ahead of time that he was going to do it there in Isaiah 48. He uproots pride and idolatry through prophecy. And so they didn't understand it until in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read it to you. It's going to be up on the screen. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 and 45. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you." This is after the resurrection that very night. "That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. The transformation had occurred in their lives. God now lived inside of them because of the cross and the resurrection, the new born-again life. And he opened their understanding to understand the scriptures. I just imagine they're sitting there and they went, "Oh, yeah, all the things that were written about you have come true, and we did these things to you." And so a couple weeks ago, we talked about this very thing, that God has opened the eyes of our understanding, being enlightened that we may know his hope and his grace and his power in our lives there in Ephesians chapter 1. But remembering, if you were here, we talked about this, you look back. Faith looks back and sees God's faithfulness in our lives. And faith looks forward and sees his promises so that today we can walk by faith. It strengthens us to be able to deal with what's going on today in our lives and see the faithfulness and the hope of God's promises in our lives today, because we look back and see his faithfulness. We look forward and see his promises. We thank God for all that he's done, all he's going to do in us. And therefore, we walk by faith today. You can't go back tomorrow and walk by faith. And you can't decide today that you're going to walk by faith tomorrow. It's a current act that we make, believing in the Lord and leaning into him. And we remember those things that God has spoken to us. So we're going to pick it up in verse 20 this morning, and I'm going to read through verse 36. Now there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast. So this is Passover. Now, this is the last week of on the Friday, somewhere in there. We don't really know exactly, but I'm a Thursday guy anyway. But this is it. This is the last week of his life. So there were certain Greeks among those who came up to worship at the feast, Passover. And then they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida of Galilee, and asked him, saying, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip came and told Andrew, and in turn Andrew and Philip told Jesus. But Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Verse 27, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." And therefore the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered, and others said an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And the people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. And how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" And then Jesus said to them, "A little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." And these things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. Father, we pray, Lord, as you have told us, you have opened the eyes of our hearts, you have enlightened us to understand your hope and your grace and your power. Lord, communicate that to us today. Lord, that we can understand the power of your salvation. Lord, the hope that you've given us through the resurrection of Christ. Lord, that grace by which we are able to come into your presence, to be born again by you today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, sometimes I'll be up here and I'll do this. I'll read the scriptures and then I get scared because now I'm going to share some things with you. I just read the eternal decrees of God, and now there's some things I want to share. That's a fearful thing. If you ever get the opportunity to share from the scriptures in front of people, you'll know what I mean. It's like, what am I going to add to this? But I want to try to coach you along to understand the incredible confidence that God has for us in Christ because of what he's accomplished on our behalf. These guys show up and they want to see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. These Greeks, they're not Jews, or if they are Jews, they're proselytes, but we don't have that. They're just Greeks that are probably there for the feast of Passover. So they're wanting to know the true and living God, but they're not Jewish. And they find Philip, one of the disciples. He's from Bethsaida, which is, if you're looking at a map, that would be far north in Israel, north of the Sea of Galilee, which there was a lot of Gentile area. There's a place called the Decapolis, 10 cities up in that area. So there was a lot of mixture of Jews and Gentiles in these areas. So Philip was very familiar with Greeks. So I don't know if maybe he said something or looked a certain way that caught their attention, but they hooked up with Philip and wanted to see Jesus. Now, maybe they heard about the miracles. I'm certain they did. They probably heard about the teachings of Christ. The triumphal entry just happened, and so they are looking for Jesus because they want to see him. And by seeing him, of course, they probably meant more of a time with him, an interview. They probably had some questions. They wanted to have a discussion with Jesus. And what's interesting is that there's now Gentiles asking to see and sit and ask some questions of Jesus. This is new. How do you see Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? Have you seen him? How can you see Jesus? John Corson, years ago, I heard do a sermon. I think it was on this passage. And he simply said this, and I'm going to steal it from him. How do you see Jesus? You watch, you wait, you'll see. And that just fits perfectly. If I could have found a better way to say it, I would have said it with my own words, but I'm going to steal his. You want to see Jesus for who he really is, you watch, you wait, you'll see. And that's the answer that Jesus gives them. He says this, now is the time for the Son of Man to be glorified, there in verse 23. Now is the time. What does that mean? The Son of Man would be glorified. He's talking about the cross and the resurrection. It happens there during the feast that they're preparing for. So he goes on to tell this parable, really, of a grain of wheat that falls to the ground. Unless that happens and it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. So they're asking they want to see Jesus, and Jesus brings this up. A seed is left alone unless it dies and bears a crop. What are they wanting to see? Jesus or the fruit that Jesus produced? So he's challenging them with this parable. And then he immediately makes an application of the parable, which is interesting to me. He says this, if you love your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life, how does he say it here? He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So he's saying this, if you try to grasp life here on earth, you're going to lose it. Because the things here are temporary. But if you find something better, eternal life and you trade this world for that, then you'll find it. Eternal life, everlasting life. That's the application of that parable to those that are listening for their own lives personally. He who serves Jesus will obviously follow him, and he'll be where Jesus is, and the Father will honor those that do that. It reminds me when my kids were little, especially Zach when he was little, and I mean little, like toddler level. If he was holding something that, it's like, how did you get that? That's, you know, a vase, you know. Oh, hey, Zach, want a cookie? You know, anything. Because if you got on him too fast, he'd throw the vase and run, right? So to protect the vase, you had to trick him. Hey, Zach, we've got some extra cookies. You want a cookie? Here, you hold the cookie. Oh, you've got the vase. Well, you're good. Okay, got the vase. Here's the cookie, right? Because the cookie was much more precious than whatever the vase was to him. I think that's the way it is with us. I think God treats us that way. Chris, do you really want to try to find your life here? Hey, I've got something much better. Why don't you just give that to me? Let me have your life, and I'll give you mine. What a trade. And I feel like a little kid sometimes, holding on to those things. You're like, but Lord, this is my life. And if we only could see from his perspective the trade he's offering us, the things that will never last for what could never be taken away. The cross and the resurrection in our personal lives. Of course, he's talking about himself. And so truly, Jesus' answer is to watch and to wait, and then you'll see me for who I really am. When the disciples were gathered with him, it's recorded in Matthew 16, he says, who do you, people say that I am? And they said, well, one of the prophets. Some of them say you're Jeremiah. Who do you say that I am? Do you remember what Peter answered? All of them agreed, but it was Peter that said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know what, Peter? That was from my Father. You just heard from God. You're right. I'm the Messiah. But then he immediately said, but don't tell anybody because you have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, he's the Messiah. We got it right. Look at me, Peter. I heard from the Father. Now I can tell everyone. No, don't tell anybody. You have no idea. He said, because I have to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die and raise the third day. And Peter said, well, that's never going to happen. You see, he didn't understand at all what it meant that Jesus was actually the Messiah. Chapter 17, verse 22, same thing. Guys, I've got to go to Jerusalem, be betrayed into the hands of sinners, die, and then raise 3 days later. He added more information. They didn't understand what he was talking about. They pretended, kind of like, we get it, not really, you know. And then again, chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, same thing, each time with more details, they did not understand. When did they understand? After he rose from the dead, we read it in Luke 24, and he opened their understanding. God now living inside of them, they went, oh, that's what it is. God revealed it to them. He opened their eyes. But until then, he said, don't tell anybody. You have no idea what you're talking about. You got it right. I'm the Messiah, but you're just going to have to wait. You'll have to watch, and you'll have to wait. So now even these Greeks, we want to see Jesus. Well, you're going to have to watch and wait, and then you'll see. I love that. What is eternal life, by the way? He said if you trade this life for the next life, you'll have eternal life. What is eternal life? Eternal life is knowing the Father and knowing Jesus. How do you know who God is? By seeing Jesus. How do you see Jesus? By understanding the cross and the resurrection. The Messiah is going to die and raise from the dead. It's a package deal for us to understand properly. I want you to turn to a scripture with me. It's Hebrews chapter 2. If you would have trouble finding it, that's fine. We're going to have the scripture on the screen here. Hebrews chapter 2 in the back of the New Testament. I'm going to read from verses 5 to 9 what the author of Hebrews is talking about. Is he's making a point concerning humanity, that God set up humanity to be over his creation. And so I'm going to read from verses 5 to 9 in Hebrews 2. For he was not put, has not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels, but one testifies in a certain place, and this is Psalm 8, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. He's talking about God's design for humanity. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Did you see it? We don't see humanity finished yet in glory, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, just like you and I, for the purpose of the death and the resurrection, the cross and the resurrection. You want to see Jesus, you need to see him in the context of the cross and the resurrection. You know, sometimes I'll have the opportunity to speak to someone that's not of the faith, they don't believe in Jesus, and they'll ask me who Jesus is, and it would be a mistake to try to talk about Jesus without mentioning the cross and the resurrection. If you want to know him, you got to know him in the cross and the resurrection. A great question for someone that's wrestling with the understanding of Christianity is, well, why do you think Jesus had to die on the cross? Someone like me, when I was in my Eastern religions days, I thought, well, he was his way of trying to find nirvana. It was the suffering that he had to face in order to become one with the universe. He's already the creator of the universe who became human. He didn't have to do anything for himself. It was all for you. The only reason Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead was so that you could be the crop, the fruit from him giving his life. So back to that grain parable. If you want a seed and you want to understand what a seed is, right? You look at the seed, you see the seed, then what do? Well, let's see what this is. You plant it in the ground and you watch and you wait and then you see a plant. And that plant blooms and then bears fruit and you've got all these seeds. And then I come to you and said, so did you see the seed? Oh, yeah, yeah. I understand the seed now because I've seen what the seed does. You want to see Jesus, you need to understand what he did for you and me. The cross and the resurrection. And what's the fruit? The fruit of what Jesus accomplished? It's you. It's you. You're the fruit. So Jesus continues on in verse 27 back in our text, pointing to the cross and the resurrection. In verse 27, my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this reason I've come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And a voice comes from heaven confirming that. What does he mean? Father, glorify your name. What does it mean that Jesus would be glorified in the Father? Well, we have an answer key. So let's just turn to the answer key and we'll see it. We'll be there in a few weeks. Chapter 17 of John. Let's see, what are we in? Chapter 12. Let's see, five chapters. We'll be in there. We'll be there next January. No, it won't take that long. But let's read the first, you know, I was going to say five verses, but I decided we'll do eight verses because I want you to see the Son and the fruit of the work of the Son. Jesus spoke these words, verse 1, lifting up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. By the way, I have to interrupt myself. This is the night before the cross, right before he goes to the cross. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Boom. I mean, that's it. God became human, and in that humanity, he's saying, okay, Father, we've finished the work. I've lived my life in front of all these people, and I'm coming back to you now. That's the cross and the resurrection, which he says, glorify yourself in me. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, and I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. It's an incredible chapter. It's called the holiest of holies of the New Testament. We get to listen to the Son praying to the Father. But just that picture of his glory, and I've given them your words that you gave me to share, and they've believed in me. There it is. There's the work that Jesus came to do. By the way, for all eternity, the cross and the resurrection of Christ will be the proof of the glorious grace and love of God to you and I. Forever, that will be the evidence and the proof and the glory of his love and his grace. I think of that, you know, if there was some alien creature that had missed all this, they were in another universe when all this took place, and they come to heaven and they say, God, what did you do while I was gone? Well, I expressed my mercy and my power and my grace. Well, I want to see your mercy. Well, he would probably point to the nation of Israel and say, look what I did. I made them promises and I kept my promises, and here they are, the children of Israel in glory. Well, Lord, I want to see your power, the resurrection of Christ from the dead, where God flexes his arm. Wow, look at that. And what's this? This is the evidence of my grace. And who's he pointing to? You. You're the evidence for all eternity of the grace of God. Do you understand that has been given to you because you believed in him? We just read it. God, glorify me because I've done what you said, and you gave them to me, and now I have given them your word, and they've believed in you. So I want them to be with us forever. You and me, me and them, them and us. It's a beautiful chapter. It just kind of blows your mind, the position that we have simply by faith in what God has done for us. So that's what he meant back in our verses when he says, Father, glorify yourself. And then there's this voice from heaven. There were several times when there was a voice from heaven with Jesus. If you remember, at his birth, right, the angel and the glory of God shone and said, it is born to you this day in the city of David, Christ the Lord. And then the host of angels, glory to God in the highest. Clearly a voice from heaven at the birth of Christ. When else did there speak a voice from heaven? When he was baptized, which was his first step of associating with us in our sin, getting baptized. He had nothing to repent of. He was simply saying, I'm with them, you and me, sinners. That righteous man, he goes into the water, John baptizes him, he comes up, and a voice from heaven says what? As the Holy Spirit falls upon him, the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. When they were on the mountain of transfiguration, Peter, James, and John with Jesus alone, as they're there, Moses and Elijah show up. Right, and you've heard me share this before. How do we know that it was Moses and Elijah?
Name tags.
Name tags. There's name tags in heaven. I love it. No, there's no name tags. They just knew. Isn't that great? We're just going to know each other. I just love that. Anyway, there's Moses and Elijah, and they're talking about the cross that Jesus is going to soon go to. And as they're talking about that, Peter says, let's just stay here forever. We'll make some tabernacles. We'll just stay. And the cloud comes upon them. They're scared to death. And the voice says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And when the cloud lifts, it's just Jesus. And they got it. That's when they got it, by the way. When they were coming down the mountain, they're saying, okay, so Elijah is supposed to come first, though, right? And they started having all these questions because they realized that he's the Messiah. He saw him in his glory. But the voice from heaven. And then here, right before the cross, voice from heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. When's the next time we hear a voice from heaven that the crowd hears? Was there a voice from heaven when he ascended to heaven? Paul, on the road to Damascus, all of a sudden, a light shone and a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But who's speaking this time? The risen Lord Jesus, right? Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Okay, I give, you win. The voice from heaven confirming the birth, the baptism, the glory of Jesus Christ on the mountain and right before the cross. Beautiful. What would these guys have seen if they would have stayed for one more week? We want to see Jesus. Well, you'll have to watch and wait and then you'll see. What would they have seen? They would have seen Jesus answering every trial, every question, every temptation perfectly. They tried to trap him in his words and he answered perfectly. He passed every test that whole week. And then he would have seen the nation reject him. And then they would have seen the cross, the agony of that moment, the loss of hope. So who was he? He's dead now. And then they would have seen the resurrection from the dead. The stories. And then, if they would have, these Greeks would have gone back to Philip and Andrew and said, so what's happening? They would have met Jesus inside of Andrew and Philip. Everything would be different for them now if they just waited one more week to observe what God was going to do. I love that he said, it's time for them to watch and wait. And then they'll see. The new humanity would have been revealed to them. It's been said, you and I, we are the visible representation of the invisible Christ today on the earth. This is what we are. We are Jesus to this world. So, the cross and the resurrection, that's what he's pointing to. We want to see Jesus, then you'll need to see this. Verse 30, Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. Now the kingdom of this world, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. The ruler of this world will be judged. John chapter 16 says this, that God, Jesus is going to send the Holy Spirit. Again, we'll get there soon. And what does the Holy Spirit do when he comes? He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. We'll talk more about that when we get there. Of sin, because they don't believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to the Father. And he said, and of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. So the cross is the victory match. It looks like the failure. It looks like evil is winning. Who we thought was the Messiah is dead now. The loss of hope. What do we do now? They had nothing. They didn't know what to do. Evil won. But really, from heaven's perspective, that was the victory match. Jesus just bought everyone through the death and the resurrection. So that when he comes back the second time, it's called the victory march. He simply comes back in victory at the retreat, the men's retreat this last weekend, which was incredible. We were reminded we don't fight from victory. We fight from victory, not for victory, right? We're not fighting to live for the Lord so that we can have victory. You have the victory now in Christ, and you're fighting from victory. It is a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle, this life. If anyone comes after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's a death. And you know what? You know, my flesh is very alive and well, but it is now dead in Christ. But my flesh never, I don't wake up, you know, on a Tuesday and have my flesh go, okay, God wins, I'll just die. Nope. It's a constant struggle. It's a constant wrestle. And sometimes the flesh seems to get that upper hand. But then I remember this, Lord, you've given me the victory over my own flesh. Praise God for that. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And so the ruler of this world will be judged, and that's the cross and the resurrection. And he says, "If when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." I want you to understand the next verse here. This he said, signifying by what death he would die, and the people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say then the Son of Man must be lifted up?" This idea of being lifted up, different than what we sang today in worship. But this idea of the Son of Man being lifted up, that term of being lifted up, they knew that meant death by crucifixion. So as Jesus is saying, "I'm going to be lifted up," they're thinking, "Wait a minute. You're saying you're going to die by crucifixion? If you're the Messiah, how does that fit?" They did not understand. Who is this Son of Man? Who are you talking about? What did they need to see? The cross and the resurrection. So to them, same answer. You need to watch and you need to wait, and then you'll see. Beautiful. He goes on to teach us, while you have the light, walk while you have the light. That's our response in faith today to the revelation of God in Christ. And in verse 36, he tells us you'll become sons of light. So I want you to see this because it says it again. Paul teaches this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. He says this, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." It doesn't say this, "You had a darkened understanding, and now you have a greater understanding." He says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light." What did Jesus say? As long as you have the light, believe in the light so that you can become sons of light. Guys, we're just not pointing to something out there saying, "There's the revelation of God." God's inside of you. So when you talk about Jesus, Jesus shows up in your life. I get super giddy when I think about that. Paul says this, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What? The knowledge of God in the face of Christ. We want to make that our treasure. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he goes on to say, and that's causing a death in our lives, so that the life of Jesus can shine through us. Remember Terry, years and years ago, Terry was teaching on this. I think it was to the college group that used to meet in their house. We should do that again. Well, you should do that again. And he was talking about Paul speaking about how we have this treasure in earthen vessels, and we flipped over to the story of Gideon. Remember Gideon? His army had been reduced to only 300 guys, and God gave them the plan for victory over the enemy, and it was this: take lights, put them in pots, and spread out, and then crack the pots so the enemy can see the lights all in the hills. And I just wonder if that's not it. You and I, we're earthen vessels, and as we're broken by him, the light shines. It's a great teaching by Terry. So, somebody shows up, modern day traveler like this, we want to see Jesus. And I go, that's fine, we'll show you Jesus. Knock, 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 I come to your house. And I say, hey, there's a couple of friends here that are in town. They wanted to see Jesus, so I brought them to you. I've got to go. I've got a meeting. We'll see you later. You're at the front door. What do you do? Just give me a second. You close the door, and what would you do? We need to clean this place up. They're here to see Jesus. What is Pastor Chris doing? Crazy man. You do a quick change. You clean up. You're putting stuff away, and you go, oh, no, my books. What am I going to do? The videos. Oh, no. Do we even have videos anymore? Turn off the TV. Or would it be this? They come in and they're saying, so where's this Jesus? And you're like, it's not working. It's not working. Call Pastor Chris. It's not working. Or the sin might be exposed. They're like, what is going on here? And you're like, I can't do it. I can't show them. Or would it simply be you being Jesus to them and watching the Spirit of God in your life bear witness to him? See, this is our answer key. You do what he says to do. You say what he says to say. And they will see Jesus. It'd be the same answer for them. Come on in. You're going to have to watch and wait, and then you'll see Jesus. And they just simply watch your life. Adam Ayers, when he was here, he was reminding me of when he and I were down at Newport Beach Pier. We'd go out there when we were teenagers and share the gospel. I had forgotten about this whole story, but there was this big guy in front of this bar, and he'd been drinking, and we started sharing the gospel with him and his friends, and they're like, I don't believe in your Jesus, and all you Christians are hypocrites, you're hypocrites. And Adam's saying, well, no, you shouldn't push Jesus away just because you know someone who's a hypocrite. And he goes, you're all hypocrites. And I said, then I challenge you. And I don't remember saying this. He reminded me. I said, I challenge you. Spend the week with me, and you'll see that I'm not a hypocrite, and you'll learn about Jesus, and you'll see Jesus in my life. And the guy went, oh, totally sobered him up. That's a challenge, huh? You want to see Jesus? You want to be committed to this thing and wait until you get introduced to him? Then hang out with believers, and guess what? You'll be introduced to Jesus. That's how it works. You do what he says. You do what he does, because that's who we are. We're Jesus in the world. I want you to see this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It's a quick summation verse. I like those. 1 Peter 4, 11. time for me to get a new Bible. My Bible's falling apart. I have several Bibles. I should just grab one of them. Here it is. He's talking about the love that covers a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another. Don't be grumbling. You've each received a gift in the Spirit. Use it for the manifold grace of God. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. That's Scripture. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Did you catch that? If you speak, speak according to the Scriptures, the revelation of God. If you do something, do it with the ability which God supplies. And what happens? God is glorified in Christ in your life. You see, my sinful nature doesn't want to wait. I'm sharing with somebody, it's like, well, this is not working. It's like, nope, God remains a witness to people. Did you know that? You have Jesus living inside of you, and he lingers in the lives of those around you because of you. Your witness lingers in their life because it's him. Remember Moses? He'd come into the presence of God and his face would shine because he'd been in the presence of God. Something happened and that wouldn't last forever. He put a veil on his face. But whenever we would go into the presence of God again, it would shine. I believe that's kind of like our witness to those around us. Someone doesn't have Jesus living in their life, they meet you, and if they just watch and wait, they begin to see Jesus, and then you leave. And you might leave with them saying, I hate you Christians, get out of here. And you feel like it's a failure of a witness, but guess who stays? Jesus stays. He lingers, and he continues to speak to them. When I gave my life to Christ, I remembered Albert. He was the only black man at our high school. And man, did he love Jesus. So he stuck out like a sore thumb. And whenever you'd talk to him, he would talk about Jesus. And I'd think, oh, Albert, please. Then when I got saved, I realized this. The night I got saved, I'm in the presence of the Lord. And the Lord showed me Albert's face. And I realized, oh, it was you. It was you in Albert that I rejected. His witness lingered in my life. Every time in my life that God showed up and I rejected him, lingered. And when I gave my life to Christ, it was, oh, that was you, that was you, that was you. So be encouraged. When you think, well, what if it doesn't work? What if he doesn't lead me on what to say or do and I don't know what to do or say? Just watch and just wait, and you'll see Jesus shows up, bears witness to himself in your life. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's this impossible thing that we could never do, and you've made it this simple that we would simply watch you do the work through our lives. And Lord, that just blesses us. That brings us to this conclusion. Lord, we want to live for you. We want to cooperate with you, which is our faith. We want to walk with you. We want to bring you glory. So have your way, Lord, in our lives. Go before us. In Jesus' name.